This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise in as well. We got Kevin Wheeler coming up at 4:30 MLB Network. Let's talk baseball, Derek! Do you want to talk baseball, Derek?
What do you think?
Are you done?
What do you think?
Is today like the watershed? We're done?
Today was the, I told you guys yesterday.
Today was the,
where
I told you guys yesterday.
Yesterday we're talking like, here's the proposal. Are you excited? I said,
nope.
Ink dry, play ball, and I'll be excited.
There you go.
And then I wake up this morning and read the owners thought they had an agreement, and the players' union said, I didn't think we had one.
No, Tony Clark's like, well, we didn't agree to that. I mean, I had a great chat with Rob.
This is ridiculous, man. This is just...
We finished a couple bottles of wine, ate some steak on MLB's dime, but we didn't come to any agreement. Nah, it's well, we'll ask
the whole runaround is exhausting.
It is exhausting. It totally is exhausting. And they're lucky that we don't have anything else to talk about. Because now, unfortunately, any kind of news is something for us to feed. We are the lion in a zoo.
I'd love to talk about anything else.
Oh, we're the lion in a zoo that's waiting until 4:05 to eat. And then here they're throwing in a piece of gazelle. And we pounce right on it. We start talking
about
it.
See, now I'm questioning how hungry I even am.
Okay. And that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. We'll do Mettler Mix-Up, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Jeff Schroeder. This is an interesting one today, and you might be interested in this if you've got a kid that constantly plays Fortnite or 2K or whatever they is. Sore or numb fingers.
Oh, man.
Due to either typing on a phone, which we all do, or video game controller. So we had a listener submit that, and it's a great question, so we'll do that. And we're going to do Trev's ticket at 5:30. I'm out of here. I'm out of here for the first hour.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you ask him about the N64? I don't know if anybody plays that anymore.
Ooh.
But there were some like Mario Party games where you'd ooh, roll it with your palm of your hand and you'd look and there'd be no skin back
yes,
on the middle of your palm.
I think the worst one ever was Sega was Olympic. They had like an Olympic game on Sega. And if you wanted to do the hurdles or the 100-meter dash, you had to just literally sit there and go, you know, like as fast as you can. And that, I mean, you would be in pain. Your fingers would be in pain. And then if you were doing the hurdles, you had to go like, and then you'd hit another button to jump. And it was tricky. So we'll ask him about that. Okay. Yeah, I am leaving early today. I'm leaving. We're heading out to Florida where it's spiking every day now.
That part.
Spiking every day for the COVID.
Right. I apologize on that front.
We are going to stay away from everybody. We literally are going to drive to the place we are staying, and we have our own little private pool. We are about 2 blocks from the beach. We're going to wait till it kind of gets, you know, not as busy, and then maybe walk down to the beach. Otherwise, we're just going to chill.
What else do you need?
We're going to chill.
Sounds like a good vacation to me.
Grill out. I'm going to catch up on some reading. It's going to be great. I'm going to put my phone in a bag on off.
You don't need to see other people.
Check it about once every 6 days.
It won't even matter. Your phone doesn't get any of my texts anyway.
No, exactly.
You can keep it off.
Exactly.
If it makes you feel better.
Well, I don't have to worry about our show because we're not having it next week, right? I do have to worry about the office, unfortunately. But, or not unfortunately. I mean, I've got to do my job there when you own a business.
Nice save.
So yeah.
We don't have to worry about the text thread going between us three or me and Trevor responding and then the email thread that you started.
Yes. Yes, I start emails, you start text. Do
well,
not text me this week.
You're in the office, what, like 3 days a week or something?
Well, it's starting to get more than that
okay,
now.
But the last few weeks, you've been like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I can never remember in my head which days I'm supposed to text Lon the itinerary and which days I'm supposed to email him if I have any questions.
Because when I get to the office, my phone sometimes, we're in a big brick building, doesn't work that well. Plus, I just don't check it. Like, I just sit it down, and I don't look at my phone during the day because I got so many other things going on with emails and everything.
It's like a Tuesday morning. I'm like, shoot, am I supposed to email Lon or text Lon? And then I was going through my email the other day, and I'm pretty sure 49 of my 50 latest messages were Lon.
Are you kidding me?
I just don't email anyone.
Yeah, you just don't email. Does that prove I'm a dinosaur? Well, the problem is I'm in front of an email all day.
I mean, it's fine.
It's my easiest form of communication.
Sure.
Because sometimes you get tired of talking on the phone. Although I do call Trevor on occasion. And I'm always apologizing when I call Trevor.
It's fine.
Because I'll think of something, and instead of bothering both of you, I'll just bother Trevor. I'm like, hey, what if we did this? But he'll always answer, be like, yep. And I'm like, hey, sorry about that. And that's how I start every conversation with Trevor. Like, hey, sorry. It's like, why are you sorry? But I'm bugging him. I feel like when you call somebody that young, you're bugging him. Because I feel like I'm dad. Just bugging you.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really bother
me. Lucas answers about one out of every 15 calls he actually picks up. And I'll text him, and 2 days later, he'll text me back. And I'm like, well, I'm glad it isn't anything serious. So, I don't know. There's like a serious alarm that goes off. If it's something that I really need to talk to him about, there must be an alarm goes off, because then he texts me right back. And I'm like, hey, oh, wow, I didn't know you were texting. By the way, he leaves Saturday, flying back out to Arizona, so I had to say goodbye to him today.
Because you leave tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That stinks.
It's just
at least you got extra time on the back end. That's awesome. We did.
And it's almost weird. I've like tricked my mind because I'm the one leaving first.
Yeah.
So I feel guilty now. Like I'm the one that feels like I don't feel sad. I feel
there
guilty that
we're,
I'm leaving.
We're the brunt of it.
Yeah. I'm wearing it, man. I'm wearing it. So and I you know what? I got 17 hours in a car to think about it. So
well, that'll help.
I can't wait to. Wouldn't it be great to have just a audio thing that I could record thoughts between here and Florida when I'm driving in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep?
Like Lon's musings or something.
Yeah, exactly.
We could play that next week.
That would be that would fill up.
Yeah,
that'd fill up 10 hours. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I just need to have a tape recorder that's constantly rolling.
It's called a phone.
Or a phone. That's the. I'm still used to my little tape recorder thing. What do you call that? Just a recorder. All right, enough of this.
You're going to get an express mail of these tapes. Like, what in the world am I supposed to do with these?
I'm going to UPS them to you. Overnighted from Florida.
Like, this is a VHS lawn. I don't know what to do with this.
What's this Anna Maria Island address? What is this? All right, so again, Kevin Wheeler at 4:30. We did get some really good news today. That the University of Illinois, if you're a football fan and you're hoping for football and just anything, what would that be, fall sports, I guess? If you're hoping for fall sports, it was announced today, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, that the university is going to have students back on campus, and they will attempt some online classes and also some in-class, I guess, or in-person classes.
Yeah, I don't know if the ratio is like 50-50 in-person online, but it will be partially in-person. I would imagine those would be classes that need to be done in person. Like, you know, a chemistry class, you can't really, I'm going to show how little I know about chemistry, but you can't really mix the things and stuff together online.
Very true.
You know, something like that. I would imagine the hands-on courses, you'd have to have them in person.
I could see that. And of course, how it relates to sports is it was pretty much, you know, known universally that if there are no students on campus, football or sports in general will not begin. So that is a step in the right direction right now with the University of Illinois, if you're an Illini football fan, in terms of getting a football season going, which, man.
Well, it would look pretty bad, too, though, right, in terms of hypocrisy if they said the student athletes can come on back, and then a week later they come out with a release saying it's not safe to have students back.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Not that I'm saying that was what drove them to do this.
Yeah, no. Right.
But
right.
I just mean on the surface it would look kind of weird if they welcomed certain students back but then also said that not all students were welcome back.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I'm excited. I mean, you know, again, we get excited now about little baby steps.
You have to.
And you do.
It's the next step, as we're mentioning here, is you're not going to have a football season in the fall without getting athletes here during the summer. Now, the NCAA yesterday set the first practice date for August 9th, so that's not pushed back. So that's a part of the step. Bringing all students back for the fall is another step. You're lining this thing up, and again, a lot of this is preparation and kind of see what happens here going forward. But without these build-ups, you can't just sit here the end of August and say, all right, let's play.
Yeah, exactly. You have to think ahead before you do it. Don't you feel like you're building this rickety bridge over this river? You're just building this bridge that you don't really, none of your group is really an engineer. You're just throwing logs across, tying it with, like, vines, hoping that it holds the car as it goes across. Because what's going to happen is football's going to almost start, and then all of a sudden, guess what? Everything explodes again, and then your bridge falls. And you're like, well, that didn't work. And that will really, I mean, it's almost like then teasing you to the point of we are about ready to start, and then it flares up again. If it does, you know, if it does, well, I don't know if they're expecting it, but
I've said before, and we've talked about it, that even if the end date was a long ways away, I would rather someone just tell me. You know, I'd rather just know that, okay, January 2021, everything's going to be back to normal.
I agree.
Even though that sucks to think about, it's almost worse to feel like, okay, maybe in August we'll get back to, never mind. Okay, maybe in November, nope, pull the rug out from under you again. You know what I mean?
It's going to be.
When we discussed yesterday about in the IHSA, different high schools may be.
Right.
Different areas of the state will have football and some may not. Some conferences, some just individual schools might not be able to play. You're starting to wonder even more if that's going to be the case in college football.
Mm-hmm.
If certain pockets of the country aren't able to play versus others, that's going to be an interesting decision for the NCAA to make, certain conferences. But in reality, I don't think we're going to know. I mean, if a bunch of teams report and have training camps and there are a bunch of flare-ups, of course, you're not going to play.
No.
But in terms of executing a season and how that goes and whether that bridge will fall through, we're not going to know until they try it.
Until they try it. You're right. And you got to at least take the chance, right? And that's kind of what they're doing. I mean, the PGA now, you know, NASCAR
is
run.
Those that are comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
I agree. And you would think maybe a little bit more in the rural area, which is where the University of Illinois is located, maybe you have a better chance because obviously population can drive that.
I mean, Nebraska announced that all summer sports would start back up again. Not Nebraska, but the college, but the state.
The state. And of course,
like, you know, area league baseball teams could restart.
And Iowa has been doing it.
Sure.
I know there's a lot of small towns around here that are starting T-ball,
right.
Coach pitch.
So to Derek's point, you might have a situation where even in terms of the fan base, you could go to Lincoln, Nebraska, and they might have 75% of the people in the stands, and then come to Memorial Stadium, there'd be 0%
here.
Isn't
that crazy?
Just because the different states have different regulations and are in different phases of the number of people they're allowing at events.
And it's so weird to think. You know, if the U of I, let's say, said, okay, we can fit 40,000 people in a Memorial Stadium, that's it. So, you know, what do you
that'd
do first?
That'd be huge. That's like a normal game turnout.
I was going to say, that'd be huge.
I thought you were going to say like 10,000.
Okay, let's say 20. Let's say 20,000.
Okay, that'd be a third capacity.
It's okay, Ohio State, you can only bring half of your fans.
Well, first, you know, the first thing I'd do, I would say no out of, except for parents and family members, no out of the other team fans. You get
good luck with that.
You get
interesting.
You know, whatever. So you only get a block of 300 people. That's it. And then I would say season ticket holders, you're first in line.
That makes sense.
Do you want to go to this game? And then you would figure out how many you have left, if any, and then you would open it up to the public. I mean, isn't that fair?
Then you have season ticket holders who the season's not going as well. StubHub's easily available.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and you'd have to figure out a way.
It's a slippery slope, though, because what if the season ticket holder sells it to a guy from Indiana and the case is spike in Indiana and here he comes for
that's
the game?
That's true. Well, but the idea behind it would be you'd have to social distance. So if Andrew and I went, we could sit back to back, right? But yet the next person from us has to be 6 feet away. And then I wouldn't be able to run up and down the horseshoe slapping five. You're pointing at the TV. Is baseball back?
No.
Oh, dang.
No. It doesn't mean it's good news either, but apparently at the University of Texas, they brought football players back June 8th, and 13 are presumed to have tested positive.
Wow.
That's more than Houston was 6.
Uh-huh. Jeez.
The PGA so far, I don't think anybody's tested positive. So that's good. Dr. Fauci today, according to Trevor, said in other news of the day, Dr. Fauci says the NFL should not play. He, quote, sees no path.
As it currently exists.
Okay.
He said the only way it should play is in a similar bubble like the NHL or NBA is doing where you have everybody in one area.
Oh, I see. That would be hard.
Is that possible?
I don't know. That'd be hard.
You can, every team is
what
like
about baseball, though?
80 people.
Because baseball's playing it there.
Yeah.
No. When or if baseball in the hypothetical bubble of baseball.
No, you're
they're
right.
They're going to play in their home stadium.
You make a blank out of you and me when you assume. Yeah, and that's true.
I think his statement was framed in the sense that he's fearful that there will be a worse spike in the winter.
And you could see, I mean, like baseball you could probably do. You know, you could pick like Miami or you know, the Marlins. Who else?
Arizona.
The Rays and Arizona. Maybe you could pick like four different stadiums. And you could, or maybe you pick six stadiums and you say, okay, NL Central, AL Central, you guys are playing at these two stadiums, at Texas and Houston. And NL and AL East, you're playing at the Marlins and the Rays. And then AL East and West, you're playing in Arizona. And that's it. Everybody has to quarantine. Everybody has to... Now, this is but I'm apparently so tired of this. See, this is like talking steroids back in the day, where every day you talked about it and you hated it.
We know what we know the science behind steroids. We know what steroids do. We don't know that this is coming back, yes or no, in the fall with colder weather. It's in the warm weather states right now. Look at Florida. Look at Texas.
Right,
right. That makes even less sense because they said this is the time that it wouldn't be spiking.
Maybe the winter will kill it.
That's where I... Where you see people saying 50% chance the college football happens, NFL shouldn't happen. So, you know, right. Like, it's premature.
Yeah, it's premature. You don't know. You don't know. And you've got half the population now that's just tired of it. That's just tired of it, and they're like, just play. Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. There's three people here, the three of us, and I won't go any further, but I know two of us are fairly comfortable with, you know, everything kind of opening back up. One isn't. And so that's one, you know, so that's one third, essentially.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know. Is that are we a good model for the nation?
Well, clearly the football teams aren't, because I would not have guessed 13 out of 40 people who would report to a training camp would have it. You're talking like 40% of the people that showed up. I mean, that's
a lot.
Well, not 40, like 29%.
That's a lot, though.
I mean, that's huge.
That is pretty crazy that these are not... the antibody tests, as to say they've had it,
mm-hmm.
They actively have this, and clearly, I would assume most, if not all, of these are symptom-free or just didn't know they had it.
What do they call symptomatic?
Asymptomatic.
So, in other words, you carry it, but it doesn't affect you.
I would hope none of the 13 players that were showing up knew full well they were showing up with symptoms.
I mean, that's the scary part. One of us could have it right now.
Yep.
Or all three of us could have it. But it doesn't bother us, in other words. I mean, so maybe we're asymptomatic.
I don't know. I think I had it when I went to the bowl game.
Yeah, you said that.
I was so sick when I came back, and it was in San Francisco, which is the first spot where it really blew up. But I don't know.
I like to think that Bud Light, as it has for 10 years with any kind of illness, has pretty much kept me safe.
Well, that case is closed ever since the girl puked on you on the airplane and you didn't get sick.
Did not get sick. So I think in honor of that,
being your last day of the week.
I think in honor of all of that, I think we should toast everybody with a cold beer right now, even on a random Thursday at 4:23. My buddy Corey Witt has a birthday today. Derek Piper, you're supposed to go party with him after.
I got a text.
You have been summoned. He has told me to make sure. He thought I could make it, but I'm like, I'm leaving. He's like, I thought you were leaving tomorrow.
I'm supposed to represent both of us.
Okay.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, so good luck. Bring your be ready for both hands. All right, so in honor of Bud Light keeping me safe, here you go. Attaboy, Bud Light. Pour that drink. That is medication. That's medication. All right, I was going to go into more about the Major League Baseball thing, but I know Derek would hit me. When we come back, we'll visit with Kevin Wheeler, MLB Network, SiriusXM. Follow him on Twitter, at KevinWheeler94. We've got Mettler mix-up at 4:40 or 4:50. And then next hour, you guys are going to do something, including a Trev's ticket at 5:30. That's going to be fun.
You can online gamble in Illinois.
Can you really?
Legally.
Give us a call. Text us 359-2255. Follow us on Twitter at TheDrive93.5.
Podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at steviej.com, jay.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Watch on YouTube as Piper cringes talking baseball. Next segment, it is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Have you had a chance to try Mia Zaz's new fresh meal kits?
No, what are they?
Well, they're your favorite meals from Mia Zaz, but packaged up in a kit for you to take home and cook for yourself.
Whoa, sounds cool. Is there a kit for pizza?
Yep, there's tons of kits. Salad kits, pasta kits, pizza kits.
I gotta check this out. Where do I go to see the menu and order?
MiaZaz.com. That's Mia as in Mama Mia, spelled M-I-A, and Zaz as in Holy Cow, I love their pizzas.
M-I-A-Z-A-S.com. Got it. Mama Mia. This is gonna be good.
That's SJ Broadcasting is looking for organizations that regularly distribute information regarding employment opportunities to job applicants or have job applicants to refer. If your organization would like to receive notification of job vacancies at our stations, please notify Human Relations at 2702 Boulder, Urbana, Illinois, 61802, or email hr@sjbroadcasting.com or by phone at 217-367-1195. SJ Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer, encouraging minorities and females to apply.
See the Showroom Top Designer Shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the Showroom Top Designer Shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
Great news! The Blossom Basket Florist has reopened both of its shops in Urbana at 1002 North Cunningham Avenue and in Champaign at the Village at the Crossing. For excellent customer service and beautiful floral arrangements, visit the Blossom Basket Florist with two convenient locations in Urbana and Champaign, or order online at blossombasket.com.
We turn your feelings into flowers. The Blossom Basket Florist.
When a parent struggles with addiction or dies from a drug overdose, what happens to their children? Far too many end up in foster care, unable to ever return to their birth homes because it's simply not safe. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is fighting the clock so that teens don't age out of foster care, leaving them at a higher risk of addiction and other negative outcomes that can happen to a child without the love and stability of a permanent family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Why? That's a question I have for you listeners out there. Why are you putting up with a bad lawn? Your lawn can be an integral part of your property. Be proud of having the greenest lawn in your neighborhood. Be proud of the lack of weeds in your yard. Let Spring Green put in the work so you can be prideful of your lawn. Spring Green Lawn Care offers the best value and plan specifically designed for the condition of your turf by their local professionals. Try the Central Illinois leaders in lawn care. Go to Spring Green's website today, spring-green. Or give them a call at 359-2111.
Yeah. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. Mettler mix-up coming up. Trev's ticket at 5:30. I'll be listening to you at 5:30 as I'm on my way south to the Sunshine State of Florida, which is all over the COVID now. Oh, well.
You'll be good.
I'm fine. I'm good. I'll drive with my mask on.
A scuba mask in the pool.
Yeah, right. Come on. Should be good to go. It's time to talk to Kevin Wheeler. He's the man of all trades. MLB Network, Sirius XM, doing some stuff, I think, again, for KMOX, at Kevin Wheeler 94. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. And you don't need a scuba mask in the pool. If you just go under the water, the chlorine will kill all of the bacteria.
Yes.
The virus.
Well, then I will then only surface to chug beer and then go right back under, Kevin. That will be my plan for a week.
Just don't touch your face with your hands if they haven't been dipped in chlorine. That's a good medical bit of advice, right?
Boom. See, Kevin Wheeler's solving everything right now, and I love it.
Yeah.
Kevin,
Dr. Wheeler.
Well, here, Dr. Wheeler, baseball, go. No, I'm kidding. I don't even know what to ask you because
I got this.
Yeah, Derek Piper's
these
so mad.
Solidified, well documented, in ink plans for baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no such thing. It's like that's the Bigfoot sighting, right?
Right.
Here's the thing that kills me about this. How is it possible that massively successful billionaire businessmen consistently misunderstand the conversations with the players?
Good
How
point.
Did they not think that the March 26th agreement would have been talking about games without fans? In what world were they living in? How did they not, as brilliant businessmen, and they are, I mean, if you're brilliant enough to have the personal wealth to own a baseball team, you're a pretty sharp guy. How could they have not said, you know what, we should probably put that in writing. We should probably, I mean, you know, at the end of March, you were doing shows, Lon. Derek, you were there. You guys know.
Yeah.
We were talking about sports without fans if we were going to get sports at all.
Exactly.
You know, this was not surprising to anybody at the end of March. Keep in mind that all of this was shut down in early March. So by that time, by March 26th, we had a solid 2 weeks of coronavirus shutdown and all of the information that went along with that. So I'm not sure how anybody left any gray area in that March 26th agreement. And now here we are again, you know, getting towards the latter part, but certainly the middle part of June. And you have a conversation where the two sides who haven't agreed on anything for basically 2 months.
Mm-mm.
Now we're all of a sudden going to buy that. Yep. They sat down once and they hammered it all out. And you know, they certainly got some understanding there, right? I mean, they got the quote unquote framework, but it just sounds like at every turn, and this is, by the way, my point, the owners are not stupid. They're not misunderstanding.
Sure.
They turn these things into bargaining ploys. So they don't like what the players are coming back with. And then they say, well, we thought we had a deal. Oh, you didn't. You knew you didn't have a deal. You're businessmen, man. You know when a deal's been done and when a deal is still hanging in the wind.
Amen. Kevin, you can just drop the mic and go home now because that.
All right, I'll drop my phone. Hold on.
Yeah, bam. I heard it. Oh, don't break it, though. Don't break it. You know, but it's, no, seriously, though.
Got a great case.
Seriously, it's what I thought about a couple weeks ago. I'm like, why would the owners have done that? Like, why would they have sat there and thought to themselves that, well, surely by July we'll have people in the stands? I'm with you 100% on that. And so maybe, you know, maybe to the point, and we know they are bright individuals, but maybe to that point, the sense that they did it back then, maybe they should be blamed for their stupidity and they have to suffer now. Kevin,
I mean, we hear all the time that they take all the risk, right?
Right. Exactly.
That's the argument. Well, this is the first time in my lifetime there's ever been any risk for an owner.
Yep.
And they're trying to pass it on to the players.
Yep. The owners have consistently made money for how long? And now, and I look, I try to look at both sides. Whenever it comes to this stuff, I try to stay in the middle. I try not to pick a spot. But the owners have made money. I know baseball players have made money. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they've all made good money. But the owners have made real money, a lot of money, the last few years. Will it finally just come down to them having to say, okay, whatever, we'll take the brunt. We'll take it for 1 year. Let's go.
Probably. I mean, I don't think they need to give in to the players. I think they need to find a middle ground. You know, I mean, the players have to give too. And look, the players did, right? I mean, they first proposed 114 games and then it was 89 and this latest one was 70.
Yep.
Okay, well, the owners started off with what, 50? And they're up to 60. I mean, it's not like the players haven't traveled on this, right? It's not like they haven't brought the number down, and certainly the amount of time left to get this done is bringing the number down even further. So yeah, I think the middle ground is where it should be, and I think it's where it's going to end up. Here's the part, another thing I just don't understand. Moving forward, the owners can make this money back up by not spending as much on free agents.
Yep.
By non-tendering players instead of going to arbitration. Like, they can make this money up. It's not like there's no way to make back the money they lose now in future years. They certainly can. And by the way, if any of the owners can't manage their way through all of this, if they're so leveraged that this is going to damage them, they should sell the team.
You're right.
Because there will be buyers lined up around the corner for teams that are for sale. I mean, there's currently two groups of people that we keep hearing about that want to buy the New York Mets. And I'll bet you that it's not going to be at a discount deal. I'll bet you it's going to be at $2.5 to $3 billion.
Yep. What, Kevin, you're smarter than I am, especially when it comes to this. What is the actual...
Lord, I hope that's not true.
What do you think an actual cost is to play a game at Busch Stadium with no fans? I mean, and I'm not asking you to know the Ameren bill and all that, but you know, you're talking about having to pay Obviously, the lights got to turn on. We all pay light bills, right? So we understand that that's a percentage of our bills each month is that. I mean, what percentage, like if we're talking 10 games here that we're wrangling over, how much do they truly, you think, lose every time they play a game without a fan?
That's a great question. So we know what the players' part of that is, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, if you look at the Cardinals' payroll, what are they, you know, what are they for this year? I forget. You know, let's put it this way. It's probably close to $1 million a game.
Yeah, that's probably payroll. True. Probably true.
Right? I know major league wide, I think it's like $830,000 of payroll a game, but
wow.
The Cardinals have a higher payroll, so certainly for them it's higher than that. So let's just play with that round number of $1 million a game in player costs. I mean, I know you'll have other costs like, you know, your coaching staff, your training staff, medical personnel in the building, doctors in the building. You mentioned the electric. Like, all of these things are going to be there. But those are all really small fractions of what the player thinks, right? I mean, like, the bulk of what they're on the hook for is what they're paying the players.
Right.
Now, if you think about a typical home game at Busch Stadium where they average more than 40,000 fans per game, where, you know, you're talking about, you know, I can't remember what their fan cost index is, but it's probably something like, you know, 40, 50 bucks a fan.
Yeah.
That comes through there. And that's probably on the conservative side.
Mm-hmm.
That might be ticket only when you average it out. But let's say it's 50 bucks a fan and you're talking about 40,000 people. I mean, that's $2 million right there, right?
Right.
So to me, you're probably in the hole $1 million. Just from that. Now, keep in mind, you also don't have to staff the rest of your stadium.
Exactly. Right?
You're not going to need ushers. You're not going to need parking attendants. You're not going to need concessions. You're not going to need all of that stuff. So let's just call it roughly a loss of $1 million.
Kevin,
at the ballpark. And that's, I mean, I'm totally spitballing here. I mean,
yeah, no, right.
You know, there's probably stuff that I'll miss out on. But roughly speaking, it's probably somewhat close. So then you ask yourself, well, how much are you going to get from television? And then how much do they make back by having the expanded playoffs and having more television money coming in there? I don't doubt that teams, especially teams like the Cardinals, who do make a lot higher percentage of their revenue at the box office compared to other teams.
Exactly.
You know, the Rays don't make anything at the box office. The Marlins don't make anything at the box office. They make all their money on TV.
Yep.
The Cardinals make good money on TV, but their payroll is where it is in large part because of their attendance. So this is something that I think would probably hurt the Cardinals more than some of the lower attendance teams, and certainly more than it would hurt the Dodgers, the Yankees,
right,
the Red Sox, these teams with massive television deals. I mean, they probably take one of the bigger hits, I would assume.
I agree.
It sounds like they're one of the teams that want to play. So if they're a team that really relies on attendance and their payroll a lot of times reflects that and they still want to play, it tells me that other teams should be able to do this too.
Good point. Great stuff off the top there, or off your head, knowing all that. That's great.
Kevin, you mentioned in there.
I'm not usually allowed to do math on the air either. That's not good.
We won't tell anybody.
You mentioned it about the Dodgers being one of the teams that wants to play. Of course, the Mookie Betts deal probably plays into that as well, but just getting back to baseball, there are teams that there are reports that there are owners, a select few, that don't want to play or could see a benefit for on their end to not play this season. What do you make of that situation?
They're full of something that I can't say on the radio.
I love it.
Those owners, if they think that they're better off missing out on this year because they won't have to pay the players and they won't have to pay some of their expenses, then they need to sell their team because they don't understand the long-term damage that they're going to be doing. I tweeted something about this a little bit ago, but this idea that you're going to potentially cost your industry billions of dollars down the road to save millions of dollars now is just nonsense. I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're one of those six owners that's saying we're better off just not playing, sell your team.
Right.
Do something else with your time. Because the damage done to this sport on the big picture, you know, you look at the way the revenue has gone over the last 10 years in Major League Baseball, from $6 billion a year in 2010 to $10.7 billion last year, and not one year has gone backwards. It's gone 6.1, 6.4, 6.8, 7.1, 7.8, 8.3, wow. 9.0, 9.4, 9.9, 10.7. Those are all in the billions. We're talking about $85 billion in revenue over the last decade in Major League Baseball. How much are they going to hurt? How much are they going to lose just from the PR of it all, just from losing fans and pissing people off because they wouldn't play in the middle of a pandemic because they wanted to fight about the millions they might lose now, rather than bolstering themselves now with the billions they've already earned and then the billions that are coming in the future.
Right.
It's a very short-sighted look at it, and I understand that you don't get to be a billionaire by not counting every freaking penny that you can get your hands on,
mm-hmm.
but it might be time to see the forest for the trees for some of these owners.
Well said. Well said. And you know, oh, by the way, in a couple of years here, we've got another negotiation that's coming up in baseball. And if you think this yep. one's hairy, that one's going to be really bad.
This is just an extension of that.
Mm-hmm.
If that fight weren't brewing in the background, I don't know that this would be as ugly as it is. You know, let's say they had completed a CBA last year, for example. I think they would have figured this out already. But see, the problem is both sides of this are... they're viewing this as a prelude to the big battle.
Right.
We don't want to show the other side that we might be weak on something. We don't want to lose a small battle now that could change the tone of the big negotiations coming up in a year. And unfortunately, this is just an extension of that. So obviously it's bad timing, but that's also a mistake too. The fact that these two sides can't separate those things is just mind-boggling to me. And I do blame the owners more than the players. Because the owners are the brilliant businessmen.
Yep.
They're the billionaires. They're the ones that are titans of industry, of all different kinds of industries, by the way. They should be able to understand this big picture versus small picture stuff. They should be able to look at this and say, wow, you know, I only spent $300 million to buy my team, and now it's worth $2 billion.
Exactly.
I'm in a pretty good place looking at this thing long term. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. Unfortunately, billionaires get to be billionaires by being cheapskates and shorting everybody else at every opportunity they get.
That's right.
Kevin, this might be a bad question, knowing that being the commissioner of baseball isn't like a electoral office, being the president. But Rob Manfred has not looked good with the Astros situation with this. Is he losing anything here as far as his long-term future as the commissioner of baseball?
I don't know. I mean, look, Roger Goodell has been a screw-up for a lot of years, and he's still there. So,
true.
You know, I do think that Manfred is mishandling this. I also understand that he's just doing the bidding of owners, too, right? I mean,
right.
He's handled this poorly. Like, he totally blew it by coming out on draft day and saying, we will have baseball 100%. We are guaranteed we're going to play baseball. And then 5 days later, he's like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to play baseball. Like, he looked really bad in that. And that's part of what started to spin this whole thing in favor of the players from the public view. Because that's when the players are like, hey, just tell us when and where, man. You dictate the small schedule you want. We'll show up. And, oh, by the way, we'll file a grievance down the road for $1 billion and
yep.
come at you that way. And that was definitely a part of that message from the Players Association. I don't care what anybody says. But Manfred is not handling this very well. And here's part of the problem. Manfred is not a PR guy. Manfred's a lawyer. He's a nuts and bolts guy. He's
right.
one of the guys that has been negotiating these CBAs for years when he was the right-hand man for Bud Selig. He's not the face that you need. He's the guy that you send into the room. He's the hatchet man, right? He's the hatchet
yep.
man lawyer,
yep.
and he's good,
good
at that. But he's not a PR guy, and he's been blowing this left and right, really. I mean, it's not just this stuff. It's been for years where when he gets a chance to speak on a topic, and you know, he's kind of alienated a lot of baseball fans because he doesn't seem like someone who really cares about baseball. He seems like someone who just cares about winning the battle that's in front of him. And of course, you know, the commissioner's office is a nice idea, right? This idea that, you know, we're going to have this third party who's going to mediate between players and owners. Man, that hasn't existed since Faye Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I mean, owners in pro sports right now are essentially spokesmen for ownership. I don't know why they call them commissioners anymore, because the commissioner, that kind of comes with the connotation that you're somehow a third party in this. There is no third party. That's the problem. There are only two parties, and one of those parties, the ownership side, the league side, doesn't like having third parties involved, which is why they're worried about grievances and getting in front of an arbitrator.
I love learning stuff with Kevin Wheeler. I've got one more for you, Kevin, and we're going to end on a positive. I'm hoping, I'm hoping still hockey continues. And, you know, it's been easy to just kind of forget that the Blues are still Stanley Cup champions and that this Blues team will be one that will have a chance, if everything goes as planned, to win another cup and hoist it. And I, for one, will be as excited about this one as I, well, maybe not as excited. That last year was just one for the ages, right?
Yeah, the first one, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And if I have to drink every other night for 2 months again, I don't know that I can do that again. I mean, I literally am still, I'm still paying for that with my weight. But the point
is,
I
believe in you, Lon. I think you can do it.
I believe in you. I think this Blues team would have the mixture of veterans to be able to kind of hit the ground running, if you will. Don't you think so with this team, and especially having Vladdy back? I think this team could kind of take, you know, drop the puck. Let's go. We're ready to roll.
I mean, if you're talking about relative, right? I mean, how are they relative to other teams in the league? I mean, yeah, they'd have to be one of the favorites. They already were when things were normal, and they've proven to be a resilient group that's deep, that's very well coached, that doesn't have anything that you can look at and say is a serious weakness. And as you pointed out, oh, by the way, even though they've been one of the best teams all year, they've been without Vlad, and he's healthy enough to be back when they return. Mm. I should say if, but it seems like all of these sports are going to come back unless there's something just massively crazy that happens between now and that time.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Kevin
and
Wheeler.
The world about 2020 has been about massively crazy, so maybe I should rule that out.
Well, that's true. That's true. Hey, I'm glad you're – what's your dog's name?
That was R2.
I love it. R2 got a little –
As in the robot. He always likes to back me up in these arguments.
He was right there with you. Kevin Wheeler, we always love having you on, my friend. You spill the truth, and it's just stuff that I don't even think about that you bring up. It's wonderful to do it. Follow Kevin on Twitter, at KevinWheeler94. Thank you, sir. Good luck in your baseball season this year.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good trip. And, again, remember, just constantly put your head under the water. You'll be okay.
Boom. I'm doing it. Kevin, thank you.
All right. See
ya. All right. Kevin Wheeler, MLB Network, SiriusXM, doing some stuff again for KMOX, which I love. A guy that should be – why did ESPN 101 – what were they doing? I know
– no, no.
Or 101 ESPN. It was all about the hockey. They needed to go. But you give Kevin Wheeler anything, and he's going to – talk about it and talk about it as well as anybody.
Well, yeah.
That's exactly right. When we come back, the Mettler mix-up, we'll do it next. It is The Drive.
We all have that friend. They always have the right tool for the job. Need a Torx wrench? Dave's got it. Claw hammer? Of course, got that too. How about a dolly suitable for safely moving your settee down a slim hallway? Dave doesn't have that. But 2 Men in a Truck does. 2 Men in a Truck has all the right tools for your next move. So when it's time to sling a settee, don't call Toolbox Dave. Call the moving professionals at 2 Men in a Truck. 2menchampagne.com. That's a smart move.
PDR is a AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility right here in Central Illinois. They have an esteemed community reputation, a great facility appearance, and amazing customer service. Plus, the staff is trained and qualified, has the most up-to-date equipment working on your vehicle, a wide scope of services, and warranty coverage. Stop into the AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility, PDR Automotive on North Cunningham in Urbana, or call them at 367-9481.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now open 7 days a week at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign. Head in, check out their newly redesigned floor plan with their selection of buy one, get one free t-shirts, along with other items from top brands such as Nike, Champion, Columbia, and more. For the best selection of Fighting Illini gear in town, head down to Game Day Spirit, 1602 South Neal Street in Champaign. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
The Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, excellent stuff with Kevin Wheeler. You said something kind of funny at the when we went to break. You're like, I didn't even think I asked a very good question, but we learned something, what he was talking about, and I agree with regards to Rob Manfred's the kind of guy. Well, I said it the other day. You we boo every commissioner now. It doesn't matter if you're good or not. You know, Gary Bettman, who really, in my mind, hasn't done anything wrong in hockey, he'll always get out there to present the Calder Trophy or the cup, you know, present the cup, and it's like, boo. It's like, what?
Adam Silver's probably the only one that doesn't.
I agree. I totally agree. And just wait. He'll do something soon that will mess it up. But a guy like Rob Manfred is wonderful to have behind the scenes. He's just not somebody you throw out in front of the masses. And unfortunately, you're seeing that. No. And Roger Goodell, man, that draft. Whew, how much Southern comfort have you had tonight, Roger? We're in round six. All right, it's time to do the Mettler mix-up. Doctor of Physical Therapy, Jeff Schroeder. How are you, buddy?
How are you guys doing?
We are great. I love this question because I have a son that is the king of Fortnite in his mind, and he's the king of NBA 2K in his mind. And sometimes he will even mention, like, that his hand gets sore. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't it after 12 hours playing whatever they have now? I mean, I'm used to an Atari back in the day. So the question here, Jeff, was my fingers get sore or numb after typing, which we do all the time, or even on a phone, or holding a video game controller for a while. Are there any stretches or strategies for preventing this? Or is this simply wear and tear on your hands?
Well, it is wear and tear. There's no doubt. And, you know, I think I'll break it up into two different things.
Okay.
Yeah, there's strategies to try to avoid it, which is probably where I would first go and try to help somebody. And then once you do have the problem, what can you do to fix it? So, look, I see a lot of young people, you know, even high schoolers, middle schoolers, and younger, that are, video games dominate their lives. It's a big part. And as you know, especially during this pandemic, I think maybe you might even see a little bit more of that because, hey, what else is there to do?
Right.
I'm a little bored. really what you want to do is you want to, of course, try to mitigate and control how often they're using the video game controller and space it out. And I know there's a lot of, you know, sort of backlash from the kids doing that. But taking breaks, taking frequent breaks is good. Using different games that, and maybe even different controllers that require different button usage. So there's a whole host of things that I would try to talk with them about, like, okay, what can we do to change what the repetitive nature of it? And we'll start there. Now, you got issues, what do you do? So often if there's numbness or tingling, I might be concerned about a median nerve or most people would think carpal tunnel. You don't want to let that go too long because that can lead to some weakness and some other issues. And it's probably that nerve as it comes through your wrist, because of the angle of the wrist or the repetitive nature of using the fingers, it's getting irritated. And so you want to take away that irritation. And one way to sort of help take some of that irritation off is stretch the wrists, particularly the underside or the fleshy side of the forearm. You want to stretch that area if you can. And then if your fingers are always bent and your wrist is a little bit bent or flexed, you want to do exercises that open up your fingers,
okay,
that open up your hand. And you just want to do opposite of what you're doing, you know.
Yeah, right.
How you sit makes a difference, too. I mean, the list goes on.
Basically, we do everything wrong. I thought of this the other day, Jeff, because the other day I adjusted this microphone. I've been doing this for 10 years. Now, about the first 6 years, I stood. And then I finally just got old enough where I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit now. But as when I sit, and people could see it on YouTube, but I'm always leaning forward with my back, you know, bent, and I'm looking down on the mic instead of the mic being equally to my mouth. In other words, I'm like leaning into it. And I've always thought to myself, now I haven't felt any pain in my back, but I always wonder down the road. What could happen with something like that with just a bad posture for 2 hours a day for 10 years?
Well, here's what I'll say about it. I don't think there is, you know, there's some folks may say there's an ideal posture. The way you're doing it, I wouldn't say is bad.
Okay.
If you do any posture for 2 hours or too long, that could be a problem, even if it's considered the ideal posture.
Got it.
So what I tell people is mix it up, get into different positions. Lean back, bring the mic towards you. Try to just do something different. If people, you know, sometimes people wear out a recliner on one side because they lean towards that.
Yes, I do
right
that.
Side. We've seen that. Yeah. So lean to the other side. I just say try to be symmetrical if you can, and try to balance out where your pressure points are, and don't do the same thing all the time. I mean, I know it. sometimes the simple is the answer, and that's what we need to focus on.
Is there any way you could get inside these MLB negotiations and get it done for us, Jeff?
I would have a few choice words with some of those folks. Yeah, I mean, considering what's going on and the amount of money that you know gets bantered about, and it's frustrating.
Wouldn't it be funny if they had their meeting with Tony Clark and Rob Manfred and whatever, and they just said, hey, we're going to let this average citizen come in and talk to you guys for an hour. They probably would both leave there with their eyes wide open.
Yeah, they might. And if you mention that he's a fiery redhead from Iowa, that might put a little fear into him even more.
They'll be like, uh-oh, he's a Cubs fan.
You worked that for me. Yeah, you worked that angle for me. I'd be more than happy to assist.
I'm putting in an email right now. I love it. Jeff Schroeder, great stuff as always. Mettler Mix-Up.
Thank you, guys.
Doctor of Physical Therapy. I'll talk to you soon, Jeff.
All right.
See you, bud. That is Jeff Schroeder. Great stuff at the Mettler Center. You know, I've said it before. I've said it 100 times, and I say it because I brag. They fixed me. I had a shoulder that was really, really bad, and they fixed me. And Matthew Gordon ended up being my physical therapist. I know Jeff Schroeder would have done the same exact thing, or whoever they have over there doing physical therapy. But they allowed me to do one thing that I take more joy in than anything in the world, and that's playing catch with my boys. And they allowed me to do that by fixing me. And this, Piper, is after I went 6 months of being in pain. I know there's somebody listening to this right now that has an ache in a knee, has a shoulder that's bothering them. It's been bothering you for 3-4 months. We're guys. This is what we do. It's no big deal. I would wake up every night I always sleep with my arm under the pillow, right? And I would wake up every night at like 3 a.m. in absolute pain to where I couldn't go back to sleep for a while. And finally, I just said, what are you doing? So I went, did physical therapy. It took me 4 trips to see Matthew Gordon. And guess what? I'm no longer in pain. And I'm playing catch whenever I want.
Still
with the
boys.
The Mettler Center gets it done. Give them a call, please. And let them know that you heard it here. All right, you boys are taking over the next hour. You got Trev's ticket at 5:30. I'm on my way to Florida, and we are off next week.
Don't rub it in.
Yes! I'll see you boys next week. How about that? Let me play a little music to get us out of here. Yeah, how about that? All right, everybody have a great weekend and a great week next week. Enjoy your time from 4 to 6, but don't leave us. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and you better be as well. That's a threat. I kid. We're out. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.